This week on the GPP Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter. Gold prices may be surging, but it was copper that helped drive the mega deal making headlines this week. Gold, the ultimate safe haven asset, has been on a tear this year, reaching a new record high of over $3,600 per ounce. This comes amid increased global concerns about reflation, geopolitical turmoil, and de-dollarization trends at central reserve banks. Not to be outdone by its shinier cousin, copper is also on the rise. Arguably the most critical metal due to its conductive properties, copper is experiencing increasing demand as a part of the auto electrification boom and the production of semiconductor chips, data centers, and AI construction. Indeed, it is called Dr. Copper because of the view that the metal is a bellwether for economic activity and is a strong predictor of economic cycles. In the words of Barrick Mining CEO Mark Bristow, copper is as strategic as gold is precious. The $50 billion no-premium stock-for-stock tie-up, announced this week by Anglo-American and Teck Resources, is set to create a top-five copper miner and reflects the ongoing consolidation in the mining sector. The Financial Times' Lex column speculates that other bidders, such as Rio Tinto or BHP, could look to jump in and spoil this copper merger of equals for their own benefits, particularly given the deal's terms. Whether or not a third party shows up, the deal still reflects copper's rise to becoming the critical commodity powering the AI revolution. The rise in copper prices and its strategic use was predicted in 2022 by energy guru Dan Yergin. He wrote a powerful study for S&P Global, in which he warned about copper's supply-demand mismatch, given how difficult the metal is to find, mine, and deliver. He noted that copper was likely the first metal ever extracted and alloyed with tin, helped usher in the Bronze Age, facilitated the invention of the telegram, and is now powering the technology of the 21st century. We hope Dr. Copper is predicting good things for the fall. Meanwhile, in activism news for this week, Wachtell Lipton says activism isn't slowing down. In a new memo, the law firm writes that even amid political and economic uncertainty, hedge funds are pursuing multi-year campaigns, teaming up in wolf packs, and drawing in smaller players. The report stresses the importance of proactive shareholder engagement and long-term planning. Meanwhile, the Financial Times reports that Elliott has built a sizable stake in Bill Holdings, the payments automation firm. The stock has dropped 85% since its 2021 peak, and with activists circling, Bill Holdings could become a takeover target. In deal-making news, on the Deals Drinks with the Deal podcast, Simpson Thatcher's Elizabeth Cooper shares how the Refinitiv transaction reshaped her career and led her to become the firm's global head of private equity. Also, Elon Musk's SpaceX announced it is buying $17 billion worth of spectrum licenses from EchoStar. The move will expand Starlink by combining EchoStar's satellite service with SpaceX's existing 5G assets. And the Wall Street Journal reported that Potbelly Sandwich Shop will be acquired by Racetrack in an all-cash deal. Racetrack hopes to help Potbelly reach its goal of opening 2,000 stores while expanding its own convenience-driven brand portfolio. Moving on to corporate governance. On Wednesday, Vanguard provided an update on the results of its pilot investor choice proxy voting program. Vanguard's press release, which was picked up by Semaphore, revealed a significant increase in investor participation across a range of different proxy voting options. Over at Tesla, Elon Musk's pay is once again making headlines. The automaker's board approved a new package that could make Musk the world's first trillionaire if certain milestones are hit. And the Wall Street Journal highlights a renewed debate over quarterly earnings reports. Some argue it's time to shift to semi-annual reporting, in line with the long-term stock exchanges model. On IPO Watch this week, Klarna shares popped 15% in their NYSE debut, according to CNBC. Meanwhile, StubHub is moving closer to going public. The Wall Street Journal reports its IPO terms could give the ticketing giant a valuation north of $9 billion. And for From Our Desk to Yours, as the GPP team settles into fall, we're shifting from summer blockbusters to festival season films. With the Toronto Film Festival underway, and buzz from Venice and Telluride, we're getting an early look at Oscar contenders. Directors like Chloe Zhao with Hamnet, Yorgos Lanthimos with Bugonia, and Richard Linklater with Nouvelle Vague are back with new projects. And A-list actors such as Leonardo DiCaprio in Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another, Daniel Day-Lewis in Anemone, George Clooney and Adam Sandler in Jay Kelly, and Jeremy Allen White as the boss himself in the Bruce Springsteen biopic. There are so many films that we are excited to see we cannot include them, and are running out of space and breath. Fall also means horror. Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein and Jordan Peele's Him will arrive just in time for Halloween and football season. But if we're being honest, the film we're most excited for is Wicked, Part 2. Yes, the soundtrack is still on our rotation. What's on your watch list? We'd love to trade recommendations this season. Time to highlight people moves. The SEC named James Maloney, a longtime Gibson Dunn partner, as director of the Division of Corporation Finance. Alaska Air Group appointed Diana Burkett Rakow as the new CEO of Hawaiian Airlines. And Earth Capital Management hired Mac Abbott, formerly a director at Starboard Value, as managing director. And finally, a quick look ahead at upcoming events. On October 9th, the University of Delaware will celebrate the 25th anniversary of the creation of the John L. Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance. On October 21st, the 13D Monitor Active Passive Investor Summit will take place in New York City. On October 28th and 29th, the 10th Annual Berkeley Fall Forum on Corporate Governance will be held in San Francisco. Finally, on October 28th, Columbia University's Night Badge Out program will celebrate its 50th anniversary in New York. And that wraps up this week's newsletter. As always, thank you for listening, and have a great weekend.